This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Your station for the best Ravens coverage.
Bringing the team to the fans.
It's news from the nest.
We're grateful for our media. We really are, most of the time.
With Vinny and Haney on 105.7 The Fan.
Sponsored by Window Nation. Right now from Window Nation, buy two windows, get two free, and pay nothing until 2027. Offer ending soon. Schedule your free estimate at 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com.
Jones looking right, throwing right. Thomas is down there. It's picked off. Intercepted by Tennessee. Chinobe Awuzie with his first INT as a Titan.
CBS on the call. Chinobe Awuzie. Well, that was a doozy. Awuzie. That was an Awuzie. CBS on the call. Pick last year. Tennessee Titans. Got a big, big contract.
3 years, $36 million.
Leaving Cincinnati. And I guess had fallen out of favor because they cut him. Signed yesterday with the Ravens. The news came down as we were getting off the air yesterday. And because of the contractual obligations of the Titans, they pay a ton of money and the Ravens get off relatively cheap here.
Yeah, it's a hell of a deal. It's you know, Eric talks about right player, right price. This is better than that. This is right player, great price, because Tennessee's paying $7.5 million. He's making $7.5 million from Tennessee to play for Baltimore. He's making the veteran minimum from the Ravens. So it's a great move for the Ravens. And the other thing was, he played for Denard Wilson this past year at Tennessee. Same defensive system as the Ravens. So it's a great situation. You know, he come in and he'll know exactly what he's supposed to do. He's a veteran guy, only 29 years old. And we've talked about since the get-go that they were going to get a veteran corner. I don't think they'll sign another one just because, you know, what are you doing with TJ Tampa? And they're going to draft one at some point, too. So I don't know that they need another one. You know, I guess if it was right player, right price again. But, I mean, for the vet minimum, you know, and here's the other thing that, you know, being the Ravens, who they are, and because they're so good, you know, and you got Lamar and your Super Bowl caliber team, guys will do that kind of thing. And they'll come and take the minimum from you because they want a chance at the Super Bowl. So that's a huge advantage that the Ravens has because they're good and got a good organization. So I think it's a great move for them. Costs them nothing. And Tennessee's paying everything. And you bring in another guy that's experienced guy that, I mean, 2 years ago, the Tennessee people thought he was pretty damn good, give him a 3-year, $36 million deal, and he missed a lot of the games. I think he got hurt right away this past year and then came back at the end.
Yeah, he's had some injury problems since their Super Bowl year when he was in Cincinnati.
Yeah, like no harm, no. I think it's a great move. I think it's a great move. You know, and now you go draft a guy, and you got Tampa and another draft pick, and who knows what will happen with Armour Davis. I mean, he's always hurt too, so, you know, you can't really count on him. So, very good move.
Yeah, as Jeff Zrebeck tweeted out yesterday from The Athletic, Marlon, Wiggins, Armour Davis, who you mentioned, Vinny, and TJ Tampa, he's now the Woozier, the fifth cornerback. But to your point, no veteran guys coming in. But of the 11 draft picks,
yes,
you know, how many? One, two, six?
I think it'll be one for sure, maybe two. But I think they'll draft a safety, too. You know, so then you got a Darius that can play inside in the slot and do those things too. So, and then what do you do? You know, if you do draft a safety and you have Washington who can play the back, then, you know, is Hamilton, you know, kind of doing like he did the first year where he's playing up closer, like in that slot kind of thing too.
Now, since with veteran free agents, with that being addressed, where else might Eric DaCosta look to fill with a veteran free agent? What other positions? And then the others obviously happening during draft.
I think Bob will get at least one defensive lineman. I wouldn't be shocked if it wasn't Calais Campbell. Which I got.
They've been dancing that dance last couple of years, right?
I think they'll bring in a defensive lineman. And I think another, they brought in Jake Hummel, inside linebacker. And I think they'll bring in probably another veteran guy. You know, and they're banking a ton on Simpson, a ton. You know, for him to be a player, he's gotta you know, come to the party consistently for the whole year. That's gonna be big. It's year three for him. They possibly could draft one in there too. But we kind of saw last year, Bob, that having the veteran guys in there were much more beneficial than, you know, taking a fourth or fifth round rookie and throwing him in there too, you know, if Simpson's struggling or whatever, and you got Jake Hummel, who's basically, you know, special teams guy.
Now, Jeff, also, Steven Sims signed with Seattle.
Mm-hmm. Returner.
So you have unrestricted free agents from last year's Ravens team, because others have moved on, McCary among others. Josh Johnson filled that hole. Nelson Aguilar filled that hole with Hopkins. Deontay Johnson, that was never happening. Deontay Hardy, that reunion not possible. Christian Welsh, you just mentioned the linebacker they signed. Brent Urban.
You
think he's out, they pull him back in.
Yeah, I guess Brent Urban, Bob, if you strike out on everything else and you don't get it, guys in the draft. But to me, a Brent Urban would come maybe this summer type thing.
And then Tre'Davious White, Trayvon Mullen, we just talked about it with Awuzie.
I got better. You know, because Tre'Davious White, he can't run. That's the problem. I mean, he's smart and play the ball and do all that, but he can't run.
It's 5880, 105.7 The Fan. Got more football talk coming up later in the show. 1 o'clock, as a matter of fact. NFL lunch. Russell Wilson's got a new home. Same with Stephon Diggs. If you missed that yesterday, got another draft profile coming up. Brian DiArdo. We'll talk NFL with him at 1:30 from CBSSports.com. But when we come back, whip around what happened in the world of sports last night. And we'll talk about the Red Sox as we break down the American League East. Talk to Pete Caldera. He thinks the Yankees are still the favorites. We talked yesterday with Drew, who do we have yesterday? I can't ever remember.
Neil Tampa. Solins.
Neil Solins. He thinks the division's up for grabs, and the Rays are actually a team that could win it. We'll see what Christopher Smith from MassLive.com thinks of the Boston Red Sox. And obviously tomorrow, we'll break down the Toronto Blue Jays. We've got a lot to get to. It's Woman Crush Wednesday. Vinny Haney, Nolan here on The Fan.
Vinny and Haney's Whip Around.
Every sport.
Every game.
Everything.
Brought to you by Box Hill Pizzeria and Crab Cakes. Best crab cakes in Harford County.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Whip Around here on this Woman Crush Wednesday. A lot going on world of sports over the evening into this Woman Crush Wednesday. And we'll talk more about this NFL lunch. Russell Wilson, 1 year, $21 million-ish deal with the Giants. Does this maybe increase the likelihood they draft old Sanders at number three now?
I think this. I think if you like him and you think he's a franchise quarterback, you still take him. Because Russell Wilson, he got 10.5 guaranteed. So it's basically 1 year, 10.5 mil. You know, and Jameis Winston's 1 year, $4 million. So they're spending, $15 million on quarterback. So if they like Shador and you think he's the guy, you take him. Otherwise, you know, you're going to suck, and you might be picking first. You're going to get another Manning?
Stephon Diggs, former Terp, now on his fourth team. 3 years, $69 million with the New England Patriots, coming off a significant knee injury that cost him more than half his season last year with the Texans.
And I did read Bob Wirtz, $24 million guaranteed. So it's I guess it's kind of like a one-year, $24 million deal, you know, possibly.
I mean, their wide receiver production was terrible.
Awful. Yes, they had two draft picks that sucked last year that did nothing. So, I mean, they have spent a lot of money. And Vrabel will be – they'll be better. They'll be better coached. They'll have a better team. You know, especially if Drake May plays good, they'll be a lot better.
We talk a lot about the men's team, Maryland, and we will as the show and the next few days progress here. But the Maryland women, Sweet 16, fourth time in 5 years – take on number one seed South Carolina, 5 o'clock in Birmingham. Gamecocks, 17.5 point favorites in that game.
Yeah, that one's gonna be tough. They're big. South Carolina, they're deep. Defending champs. Tough task.
NBA last night. Miami, 112-86 over Golden State. The return of Jimmy Buckets, who had 11 points. Throwing shade at old Pat Riley. Pat Riley just turned 80. He's got multiple championship rings. He's in the Hall of Fame. I don't think he gives a bleep what Jimmy Butler thinks of him, but it is what it is. Bam Adebayo, who's actually benefited from Jimmy Buckets moving on, he had 27. Haywood Highsmith, Baltimore's own, for the Heat, 6 rebounds, 3 assists, and a steal, helping the cause. It was Houston, 121-114 over Atlanta. We do the scores based on the Baltimore local kids playing in the games. Atlanta, they lose. Jalen Green had 32 for the Rockets. Cam Whitmore for Houston. Baltimore's own. Villanova. DNP coach's decision. It was Memphis, 140-103 over Utah. Desmond Bane, 21 for the Grizz. Santi Aldama, Loyola Greyhound, 9 points, 5 boards, 3 assists. It was Oklahoma City over Sacramento, 121-105. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, the likely MVP of the league, he had 32. Aaron Wiggins, University of Maryland, had a bust-out season dealing with an Achilles. He sat that one out. And with a win, Oklahoma City, 60 wins. First team to 60 in the NBA this year. It is the whip around here on this Woman Crush Wednesday. In the NHL last night, Capitals taking on Winnipeg. Top two teams points-wise. In the NHL, it might not have ended well for Washington, but we're getting close to history being made.
Nice pass. Ovechkin scores! Alex Ovechkin, 889. Washington 2-2.
What a pass and what a release for 889 by the captain, getting his team back in this game.
Joe B. on the call, Monumental Sports, and of course, great goal. Big goal. At the time of the game.
Yeah, too. Caps were down 2-1 late in the third. 4 minutes to go in the game. And Protas made a hell of a pass to Ovi, and Ovi buried it right from the slot. You know, and like we heard Joe B. say, he's 6 away. But more importantly, like you've been saying all along, Bob, I mean, the Caps have the best record in hockey. They have the most points in hockey. And, you know, they got a point out of Winnipeg. So I'm saying that going on the road, playing one of the teams with the best home records in the league, getting 1 point, take it all day long. Now go to Minnesota, you know, and it'd be nice if they could get 2 points in Minnesota and then coming home again. So, yeah, it was a good hockey game last night. I mean, both goalies played pretty well, and it was like – Mangiapane, they did an interview with him in between periods. And he said, this is playoff hockey. He said, the fans are into it, everybody. You know, so it was like a playoff game. So which is good for the Caps and stuff because it prepares you for what's coming.
Yeah, and Minnesota's going to be no walk in the park, 40-27-5. Right now, the top wild card in the West.
Yeah, and they got to win, Bob. I mean, the pressure's on them because they're only 2 points ahead of St. Louis. You know, and St. Louis has won 7 in a row. Minnesota's lost 2 in a row. So, yeah, and Vegas beat Minnesota last night. So, yeah, that's the Wild cannot afford to lose. And the Caps, you know, they got 11 games left. They play a total of 82. And the Caps, you know, are sitting at 71 with 103. They're in good. They've clinched everything else. But, you know, these last 11 games, you'd like to do a couple of things. Get Ovia's record and get that out of the way. And be playing well when you're going into the playoffs. And the other thing, Bob, is they signed Jacob Chychrun yesterday, defenseman, which is huge for the Caps. I mean, he has played spectacular for them this year. Goal scoring, puck moving defenseman, got 8 years, $72 million, nine a year.
This day in sports history, it is March 26, 1974, in Caracas, Venezuela. Big George Foreman, we celebrate the life, celebrate the career. One of his most devastating performances. Ken Norton used to give Muhammad Ali the blues. George Foreman TKO'd him in the second round. It was a monster mash of epic proportions with Ali on the blow-by-blow ringside. Foreman knocks out Ken Norton. Second round, retains the heavyweight championship. On this day, 1979, in Utah, Michigan State beat Indiana State 75-64 to win the national championship. Magic Johnson, 24 points in that game. He was the tournament MVP. Greg Kelser had 19. Larry Bird, 19 points, 13 assists. Carl Nix had 17 for the Sycamores. All four of those guys were NBA players with different levels, of course. Bird Magic transformed the NBA into what it is, and then Jordan took it to another level. I mean, that's a fact. To this day, the highest-rated college basketball game of all time. And up until like a year or two ago, and the highest rated basketball game witnessed in the United States of all time. So I don't want to hear no Caitlin Clark or LeBron James. This game here at 35 million viewers.
I was watching.
I was glued to my television, yeah, and rooting against Indiana State because I didn't like Larry Bird. And I hated him in Boston. Now 30 plus years since his career ended. He's one of the 10 best players in the history of basketball. And you have to respect what he was. I mean, he and Carl Nix played in the NBA for a couple years, but Bird, this Indiana State, what have they done since he's left? Now, Michigan State, I mean, they're a premier program. But Magic Johnson, that was 46 years ago tonight with Dick Enberg, Billy Packer, and Al McGuire on the call.
I mean, Bob,
the excitement level for that game was off the chart.
Oh, yeah. What year was it again?
1979.
Oh, I was in college. Yeah, I was
at
Iowa
State. I was in the eighth grade at Holy Rosary. What's up, Word of Eagles? It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. We'll come back. Talk about those Boston Red Sox. I tend to forget about them. Last couple of years, they haven't really competed for the division championship. Keith Law, among others from The Athletic, thinks they're going to win the division. Does Christopher Smith from MassLive.com agree? We'll find out next. And if you're on the phones, we'll get you before the top of the hour.
Vinny and Haney on Sports Radio 105.7 The Fan.
Nothing says opening day like shit. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Woman Crush Wednesday. You want to hear a song from your favorite female artist or band? We'll play it. Send your request, plus for text line 410-583-1057. Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw's in the other side of the glass. As we said, baseball starts in earnest tomorrow. And in Boston and in Baltimore, wherever else they're playing baseball. Of course, last week, the Cubs and Dodgers really started things off. But here to talk about the Red Sox as we break down the American League's Eastern Division from MassLive.com. He's on the Window Nation guest hotline. Let's welcome in Christopher Smith. Christopher, good morning. Thanks for joining us here in the Charm City.
Hey, good to be here.
All right, we've been talking all week with various reporters from rival AL East cities, and we were doing Tampa yesterday, New York on Monday, and of course here in Baltimore, we've got injury problems with Gunnar No Grayson. Kittredge is going to start, and I'm guessing Grayson and Kittredge won't see them for a while. The Yankees starting rotation is a mess. Tampa, outside of McClanahan, not saying that's an insignificant loss. They seem to be okay. How are the Red Sox looking health-wise as the season begins tomorrow?
Yeah, they're looking good health-wise. I mean, they have three starters on the IL to start the season, but they're only expected to be on the IL, you know, for a couple weeks at most. So, you know, I think that they're in a good place. You know, they're all their position players are healthy. You know, they're, as I said, the rotation is going to be in place soon, and they've got some good guys that, you know, they've got, you know, Richard Fitz, who made four really good starts for them last September. He's going to be in the rotation for them to begin the year. And so, you know, as one of those replacements. And so I don't see any problems. I think that they've got really good depth starting pitching wise, and they should, you know, come out and change the course of Red Sox the last 3 years of what they've done the last 3 years. I think they have a chance to make the playoffs this year.
Now, Christopher, early in spring training, I guess the story was Rafael Devers was not going to give up third base in place of Alex Bregman. That kind of died out, that drama, as spring progressed. So how does that infield look? I know Trevor Story's a guy with a past history, but he's been banged up for a lot of his Boston tenure. How does the infield stack up compared to the American League East rivals here?
Yeah, I mean, I think that they're, you know, from day one of spring training, or day one that they got Alex Bregman, they wanted this rookie, Christian Campbell, who's number four on Baseball America's top 100 list, to be their starting second baseman. He didn't have a particularly good camp, but they like some of the underlying numbers, and, you know, we shall see with him. You know, it could be a struggle, a Jackson Holliday kind of struggle offensively for him and potentially defensively early on. But they're pretty committed to him. So, you know, it should be interesting with their second base, you know, defense right there with Christian Campbell. I mean, he showed that he's a great hitter last year in the minors, but there are some questions about the defense. You know, Trevor Story, that's a big thing at shortstop. Like, can he stay healthy, and can they have him for a full season? You know, he's so important defensively. Whenever he's out there, he makes, you know, the whole infield, you know, incredibly better. And so, you know, can he stay healthy? And then Bregman, you know, is a gold glove. He won a gold glove at third base last year. And Tristan Casas is going to be the everyday first baseman. You know, he has the potential to be like a 30-homer guy. I mean, and he's, you know, got great plate discipline, pitch selection, all that. So they've got a good infield, but there's some question marks, obviously, with, you know, Christian Campbell and, you know, if he's ready. I mean, he hasn't played many games in AAA, and all of a sudden he's going to make his major league debut after not that great of a spring training camp. I know spring training stats don't matter. However, when a guy has never made the major leagues before and he has a bad spring training, it's kind of surprising he makes the opening day roster. So that's something to watch out for, second base.
Christian Smith, MassLive.com, joining us here, video at Haney. Christopher Smith, rather. Sorry about that, Christopher. Talking about the Red Sox. Look, Keith Law, and you mentioned them maybe making a run at the playoffs. He actually, from The Athletic, picks them to win the division ahead of Baltimore and New York and Toronto, et cetera, et cetera. And maybe nobody in the American League as a whole entity could win 100 games. But what about Boston not only making the playoffs, but maybe even winning the division?
It's possible. I mean, I think that I have them down as a wild card team. I still have the Yankees being the front runner. I think that the Orioles, you know, lack some starting pitching right now. That, you know, they didn't do a good enough job in the offseason there. But I think that they're an interesting team because, you know, you look, if they get the wild card, if they get in the postseason, they can do some damage just because of their rotation. Garrett Crochet, Tanner Houck was an all-star last year. Walker Buehler, when he came back from Tommy John surgery last year with the Dodgers, he was not good in August and September. And then all of a sudden in the postseason, he picks it up. He's always been known to be a postseason pitcher. And so they have a chance. I mean, they added enough that they should get a wild card at least. Will they get the AL East? Will they be able to overtake the Yankees or even the Orioles to the AL East? I don't know yet. I have to see them play. But they've definitely added, like, leadership to their team, too, with Bregman and, you know, Trevor Story, if he can stay healthy. They have some leaders that they were lacking in previous years. Like last year, they were looking more towards, you know, Jaren Duran, who's still such a young player, and, you know, Rob Ruffsnyder, who's a platoon player, is kind of the leaders of the team. Well, finally, they've sent some guys up here where they got Crochet, they've got Bueller, they've got Bregman and Story back healthy. They've got a lot more leaders, a lot more veteran leadership, and I think that they have a chance to win the division. But I still put the Yankees ahead of them right now.
Christopher, was it their goal in mind to go spend money to get leadership-type guys? That's what they felt like they lacked the year before?
Yeah, I think they did feel like they lacked that, but they needed a right-handed hitter that, you know, I mean, they just needed to get a right-handed hitter in this lineup and, you know, and improve the infield defense, and Bregman fit that role completely, right? Like, leader, good at defense, a right-handed hitter, and it should be interesting to see how he, you know, plays at Fenway Park or hits at Fenway Park, you know, with the monster and everything, so... He's incredibly intriguing. They fixed some things in his batting stance and different things to earlier in his career so that, you know, to make it more like earlier in his career. So, you know, it should be interesting to see how he pits at Fenway and how, you know, he's a leader. I mean, he's already showed leadership so far. He took a 2.5-hour bus drive across the state with the Red Sox so that he could – on one of these spring training road trips so that he could, you know, be with the young players, be with the young prospects and, you know, get to know them well. So, you know, it definitely helps there. And I think that was what they were going on, but they just needed to get good players because they haven't done that much in recent years.
Christopher Smith, MassLive.com. Red Sox start their season Thursday, 4:05 at Texas against the Rangers, two teams with high hopes for 2025. Christopher, appreciate the time. I'd say good luck to Boston, but you know I can't do that being from Baltimore and we're on a Baltimore radio station. But hey, give me hell in Texas, maybe. How's that sound?
Yeah, I'll be there in Baltimore this coming week, so I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to the day off in Baltimore.
Yeah, see you Monday. All right, here's Christopher Smith, MassLive.com. Boston winning the division? I don't know about all that. Playoff team? Possibly. That American League, it's going to be wild, wacky stuff. We'll talk about the Orioles, as a matter of fact. Matt Wyrick. Coming up from the Baltimore Sun at 12 o'clock. We'll come back next, take your phone calls. We'll do our Orioles predictions in the next hour as well. Oh, yeah, we'll count some money, too, by yourself. In the American League's Eastern Division, if the Orioles make the postseason, it'll be for the third straight season. First time that's happened in over 50 years when the 69 through 71 Orioles did it. They not only made the postseason, went to the World Series 3 years in a row, but we're talking about one of the greatest teams in the history of Major League Baseball. Zach Eplin gets the call for the Orioles. Jose Berríos, battle of veteran right-handers tomorrow at Rogers Center. No threats of weather because it's a controlled environment. It's a dome at Rogers Center. We'll talk about the Birds here with Matt Wyrick from the Baltimore Sun. Top of the hour, Terps tomorrow night taking on Florida. As I've said for the last 2 days, pretty epic for Baltimore sports fans. Epic Thursday. Orioles start the season with expectations. Terps went away from getting to the Elite Eight for the first time in 23 seasons when they won the national championship back in 2002. Let's get out to the phones. Go to Rashawn. Rashawn, what's up?
What's going on, Vinny and Bob?
What's up? Yeah, wear your Maryland sweater and your Oriole hat. You can do two things at one time. I do it all the time.
Yeah, man. I definitely am, man. I'm just excited about this Terps game, though. You know, man, I'm just a little nervous, too. And then we got the women playing on Friday. So it should be interesting, man. Like, who y'all think out of them two got the better chance to win, though?
The men. You
know, the men.
Oh, absolutely,
yeah,
the
so
men
too.
Do. I mean, the women, a great comeback, double overtime, dramatic. But they're taking on the defending national champions. It's going to be a tough ask. I mean, the spread says so, too, as the odds makers see it. 17.5 points.
And both Maryland and both Maryland teams are the four seeds, right?
Yep.
Playing the one.
Yep. And
so
the Maryland women are the only four seed to get to the Sweet 16 in the Maryland in the women's tournament.
How about that, man? You know, I wish, you know, some type of miracle would happen this weekend, man. But, you know, anything can happen. You know, but other than that, yeah, your boy Dustin texted me this morning, man. He said, hey, man. He said, I'll be up. I said, what do you mean? He said he's driving up. I said, but your pass would expire. He said he got a plan. That's all he said. So I don't know what that means.
Oh, boy. I don't want to see it. Every time you post something on social media, Rashawn, with you, Trippy, or Dustin, there's always a police officer involved. So I don't know what the mounted police are like in Toronto, man, but you guys just keep the Labatts to a minimum. How's that sound?
Yeah, listen, I'm flying in. So he's driving up and going to Buffalo, and he said he's got a plan. He, you know, he like to watch some YouTube videos and think he's smart, but, I mean, hey, you know, we all did some dumb things when we was 26-year-old, Bob. So, you know.
I do it when I'm 60. You know what I'm saying? All right, Rashawn, thanks, dude. Have a safe trip out there, no doubt about it. Let's get back to the phones. Ed and Arbutus. Ed, thanks for holding. What's up?
Yes, sir. Thank you, Bob, and to you and Vinny as well. Ravens 11 picks draft wish list to fortify rotational depth. If they choose to use all 11, defense foremost for a revamp. Window of opportunity to compliment Lamar and his guys is happening now. So prioritized order of selection, first pick, as I see it, playmaker, ball hawk and safety with thump. Second pick, closest thing to another shutdown corner to bookend Wiggins and the recent pickup. Solidify it now. It's always an issue as the season goes on. Third and fourth picks, two high motor edge guys who can wreak havoc and finish. Athletes with burst. Scouting gems, they're out there. Fifth pick, a half of the field, lateral, rundown, tackling machine, linebacker to assist Roquan. Sixth pick, a double A-gap stalemate nose guard to replace Pierce. On the O side, pick 7 and 8, three-dimensional, positional, versatile O lineman for depth. Special teams, kicker, pick 9, reliably short 35-yard line for a 52-yarder, and then guaranteed 3 points efficiency. Pick 10, sure-handed return specialist who can assure field position and make the first guy miss. Thought it was a glaring void last year for a possible disaster. Last pick, if they choose to use it, not a trade chip, Swiss Army knife guy. Last thing today, gentlemen, on the O's. Baseball theory to adhere to. Never weaken two field positions to satisfy one. Urias and Westberg, Mountcastle at first, are the best glove men at those positions. Holiday will make all the routine plays at shortstop. They got it right. That's it, gentlemen. I thank you for your courtesy.
All right, Ed and Arbutus making some good points as well. He's got the Ravens detailed what they need in the draft for sure. And DB help, obviously, is part of the equation. But no more veterans, as we talked about. More like draft equity invested
I would think. No more veterans now. Maybe after the draft, if you didn't get a corner, then you reassess what your needs are. But going into it, yeah, I don't know that they would need anything right now other than, you know, like a Calais Campbell, something like that, or another offensive lineman, veteran offensive lineman. But I don't anticipate them signing anybody until after the draft to see what they did. But like kind of what Ed was talking about the numbers. I got no problem with the number. You know, I don't think it'll fall exactly like that, but what they need, I'm right there with them.
It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. We'll come back, talk Orioles, preview their season with Matt Wyrick. He was in Florida from the Baltimore Sun. We'll count to midweek dough, hopefully with buy or sell. And Scott Docterman from Athletic. Talk some college basketball with him. The NCAA tournament down to 16 teams. And for the first time in 9 years, Maryland's one of them. But is Kevin Willard coaching out the string here in College Park?